Welcome to Tonight in Mobile.
Hey, gang, you're rolling with rockin' Ricky Rialto, the voice of Kingston Falls, USA.
It's Tonight in Mobile.
Got my money?
Oh, yeah, I don't have it, sorry.
Oh, well, all right then. Where's my money, man?
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Engaging the people, the city, and all Port City Patriots.
There's a spot. Signal this to all decks. All weapons to full power.
All weapons to full power.
You were born a boy, you stay a boy. You were born a girl, you stay a girl.
Yes, baby! Yes, baby!
It's Tonight in Mobile with John Young.
I love this so much!
I know you do.
It's got electrolytes.
It's got electrolytes.
Yeah, it's got electrolytes.
Tonight in Mobile, presented by Neudrolix, with in-studio guests and your calls and texts. Tonight in Mobile with John Young on FM Talk 106.5.
Good evening, Port City Patriots. Welcome to Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile. I am your host, Mr. Mobile, also known as Le Chocolat Thunder. Boom! Let's get right into it. Happy birthday to Uncle Joe Hill from Hillsdale. He's actually my good friend Pooh's uncle, but he's been like an uncle to me for the last 54 years of my life. Happy birthday to him. I think he and Maine Thompson turn around 60 this month. So happy birthday to Maine and Joe. Happy birthday to Emma Grace, the daughter of Major Jonathan and his wife Amy Lee. Happy birthday to Bob Slaughter, my friend and owner of Neudrolix, who sponsors my show. He turned 54 this month, and also 31 years of marriage to Darlene Slaughter this month. So happy anniversary and happy birthday to them. I'd also like to let you all know about the Alabama Career Center is holding a job fair on 9/18/25 from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at 515 Spring Hill Plaza Court. If you're looking for a job, you want to come out and find a job, or if you know someone, if you have some lazy kids in your house, let's get them out there and get them employed. I want to introduce my friend and co-worker, Justin Howard. He's here from Mobile Police, representing the Mobile Homeless Initiative.
Hey, Jay Wyatt. Thanks for having me tonight.
No, thank you for coming. But before we get into that, our new segment on our show is Ask the Professor. And the professor is one of the most wisest men I know. He's the founder of the Southern Gentleman Pipe and Cigar Tobacco Institute. But he's one of the wisest men I know I've ever heard. Professor, if you're listening, call in because I have a very, very important question for you. You need to call in so we can, one of our callers asks something and only you can give the answer to. And while we wait for the professor, Justin, tell us about the Mobile Homeless Initiative.
So the homeless outreach team consists of myself and another civilian that works for the city, as well as two civilians that work for AltaPoint. Our general purpose and calling is to get out into the streets and into the public and interact with the homeless people where they're at in whatever state they're at to attempt to get them the resources they need to better themselves.
What do we misunderstand? I know I've made plenty of comments on the show. I make a distinction between homeless and vagrant.
So homeless is a growing problem across the United States with inflation and lack of pay rates and all the other combative problems that make up homelessness. And a lot of what we miss is that most humans are a paycheck to two paychecks away from living in their car or on the street or on Cousin Robbie's couch. We look at homeless people in the street and our first perception is that they're dangerous or they're vagrants, and 90% of the time, that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have a violent culture in America that's growing, and it's a subculture, but that's across all classes of Americans, whether it be the wealthiest or the poorest.
So, are there levels to homelessness? Are there?
There are. So HUD has four, which HUD is the national standard for what is considered homeless. And what most of us perceive as homeless is what is considered chronic homeless. Anyone who's been sleeping outside or somewhere that's not cohabitable for habitation for over a year. That is what most of us perceive as homeless.
Mm-hmm.
But there's three other categories, whether it be endangered youth, which is anyone under the age of 25, whether it be fleeing domestic violence or intermediate homelessness, which is, hey, I got evicted. I'm figuring it out. I still got a job, but I won't be homeless long.
Does giving people begging for money on the side, this is what I call vagrancy. The homeless are the people you just described who are in bad circumstances and maybe need a couple of paychecks under their belt to get back on their feet. Does giving money to people on the street help?
So as a program, we do not support giving money to our homeless population. What we do support is getting them to resources that they need, offering them assistance if they need certain items. But to give them blank cash money is traditionally not a good thing. Because if they had an understanding how to spend money, they probably wouldn't be in the situation they in. So we need to focus on giving them things that allow them to have a hand up and not just a handout.
When you say the resources they need, what type of resources does the homeless, the Mobile Police Department Homeless Initiative provide?
So one of the biggest problems that we've started to combat over the past 18 months is that a lot of our homeless people don't have identification.
Mm-hmm.
So we have started printing homeless identification cards ourselves that partner along with other forms of identification they might have that will allow them to get to resources they need. Because if you don't have a birth certificate, a social security card, a driver's license, you can't work. Right. You can't rent a hotel room. You can't get an apartment. You're basically a non-existent human. If you lose your wallet today, you can replace everything in your wallet within 3 days. It's uncomfortable, but you can do it.
Right.
Someone with no address, they can't have their debit card mailed to them, no right. car, can't drive to the bank, can't drive down to the lockbox.
Right.
You know, they can't do these things. So we take that for granted as a society. So we work on that. We work with a partner called First Steps that's doing great work. And they've done a really good job here lately. They get about 100 people state-issued IDs a month.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been great. We help people get jobs. We help people get to and from medical needs, whether it be health care from the homeless, USA, Mobile Infirmary.
How many homeless do we have in Mobile?
So the last time a point count, which is a national survey that they do that is literally what it says, it's a time and point count, said we have 675 homeless people within the city of Mobile.
675.
But if you believe what most of us believe, that number is much higher.
Right.
That's a time and point count that a group of volunteers went out and counted homeless people. I promise you, they didn't dig deep into the woods. They didn't go off into the weird cul-de-sacs.
Right.
They weren't robbing in they weren't in hidey holes or alleyways.
Right.
Because these are volunteers.
Right.
They went and counted the easy to count people.
What can we do? What's your contact information first, and then what can we do as a public to help you?
If you contact the non-emergency number for the city police department and ask for the homeless outreach team, they can get to us. If you send in a complaint through 311 to the mayor's office, mm-hmm. it will also get to me. Unfortunately, at this time, we're not an immediate response unit. If someone needs 911, please call 911. If they're having a health issue or if they're, if they are committing one of these vagrant crimes that you're worried about, please call, mm-hmm. the non-emergency number, the dispatch number, and let that be handled in emergency. But we are making an effort Monday through Friday to get these people to the resources that they need to try and better their lives.
How'd your retirement fight go Saturday?
Oh, man, you went there. So it was great. If you weren't at the Mobile Convention Center on Saturday night, we had a MMA show there hosted by Impact and Rob Morty out of Panama City. They put on their first show here in Mobile. My team went 3-0. I won.
All right.
TKO stoppage, so we take it.
Right on. Thank you, Justin. Professor, are you there?
I am.
Professor, my friend Junebug Jones said Parliament told him to get up on the downstroke, but he got down on the upstroke, and now his funk is funked up. What can he do?
Well, it's important when such issues arise that you think deep thoughts, you think about the great thinkers of our time, and times in the past.
Mm.
And I always relate back to Socrates. Socrates would answer a question with a question. So I'm thinking of the 20th century poet who I've been reading this evening, Robert Coolbell. And he asked in one of his great works, how you gonna do it if you really don't want to dance?
Professor,
standing on the wall.
Professor, thank you so much for the information. Junebug is now on his path to healing. Thank you, Professor. Port City Patriots, that's it. Thank you for coming in, Justin. We see you guys in 2 minutes, 2 sentences. All right. Be right back. Welcome back to Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile. I am your host, Mr. Mobile. I'm here with the Mad Hatter. That was a really interesting opening segment with the Mobile Police Homeless Initiative. Oh, yeah. It proves that cops aren't just trying to arrest their way out of the problem.
No.
The police department cares about what's going on in the community. And some people don't have a problem that's an arrestable offense. They have a problem that they need other solutions to.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful that Officer Howard showed up. But I have to talk about my other friends at Eddie's Wholesale Jewelry and Pawn. I wouldn't be on the air without them. They're located at 266 East I-65 Service Road North. Their phone number is 251-479-4653 or 251-479-GOLD. Eddie, Sandra, Braxton, JJ, Dean, Carson, Emma, and Juanita are there every day. Providing what you need. And when I tell you Eddie's has everything you need, from gold, jewelry, firearms, electronics, you name it, they got it for your bathroom, your bedroom, bathroom, boudoir. They got something for everybody. And remember, Braxton loves having his beard stroked and JJ gives great hugs. Tonight's topic is from a magazine written by Ebony Magazine, written in 1970. And last week, I had the opportunity to speak to two youth groups, one at Strickland Youth Center and another at a church in Daphne. And these were all kids between the age, I guess, of 5 and 15. But what I came to realize is that what was said in the 1970s about the needs of children is still true in 55 years later. The advice that was given then is very true. And I realized also, children, they don't do what we teach, they do what we tolerate. Meaning, if the Mad Hatter's mom says, sit down and eat your vegetables, but the Mad Hatter sits there so long and she becomes frustrated and tells him, just go to his room. What? You taught him to eat his vegetables, but you tolerate him figuring out a way not to eat his vegetables.
Yes.
You teach your children, sit down and shut up when we're out in public, but you tolerate them running up and down the aisles of an airplane or the shopping market. You teach them to say sir and ma'am, but you tolerate them when they say yeah, no.
No enforcement.
Right. So what we tolerate is what you'll get out of children. And that's how we have to look at this from now on. And the opening chapter of this magazine from 1970 is called The Quality of Life, written by Dr. F.E.O. Ellis. And she says, consider for example, the delicate problem of keeping an expectant mother's nutrition adequate. It is not a simple matter since her caloric needs increase because of pregnancy and lactation. If she is between 18 and 35 years old, she will need 200 additional calories per day while pregnant and 1,000 additional calories per day if lactating. Her caloric intake also is important because malnutrition begins in the uterus. It is not only dangerous for the unborn child, but can actually be fatal to the mother as well. Some obstetricians still keep pregnant women on diets low in carbohydrates, restrict her fluid intake, believing this will cause difficulty because their babies will be small and of light weight. But low birth weight is now considered undesirable because brain cell growth may be below normal. Brain cells divide most rapidly before birth, progressively more widely, progressively more slowly afterward, and stop dividing by the age of 18 months of life. By then, we have all the brain cells we will have. But because of this inability to synthesize proteins normally, a malnourished child can be doomed to a 40 to 50% decrease in brain cells. A malnourished uterus can also yield a premature baby whose too early birth and too small size make him more likely to die in the crucial early weeks after birth, more so than a full-term baby. He simply lacks the equipment to deal with a hostile outside environment. Much prematurity is linked with adolescent pregnancy. The younger the mother, the greater the hazards to her baby. Therefore, the mortality rate for babies born to girls younger than 15 is 32 per 1,000, or twice that for babies born to women in their early 20s. Even if they live, these premature infants have more blindness, more deafness, more mental retardation, this is in the book, and more heart defects, other congenital defects, and malformations than full-term babies. Up to 50% of prematurely born infants grow up with intellectual competence significantly below that of the others their age. These mentally and physically defective babies occur because their mothers' bodies were not yet fully mature physically and could not support a fetus efficiently. And that's why when I go speak to kids, yes, even four-year-olds, I emphasize not getting pregnant until you're married and can provide for the child, Mad Hatter. No. This is something we've known for decades. This is something we've known for centuries.
Until people start forgetting it.
Or lied to.
Or choosing to.
Right. And now we've normalized teen pregnancy outside of marriage. But then we wonder why these kids are growing up degenerate. Not just because the mother is so young, but the womb is often poisoned. Drugs, malnutrition, lack of education, stress. Mm-hmm. How many times have we seen clearly pregnant girls waiting tables or washing cars or still working heavily or watching her eat Taco Bell? And so the issue isn't just that the child are raised in a good home environment. They must be conceived in a healthy womb. And if you add to that the seed of the father that's poisoned, and the father is stressful, and the father was premature, and the father was born from a tainted womb, then we just compile these issues. So when I speak to these children, I speak to them this way. Yes, I don't get into graphic details. It's not a sex ed class. Mm-hmm. But I speak to them in common terms because this four-year-old has seen his or her mother have children outside of marriage. This four-year-old, five-year-old, 10-year-old has seen their mother working very hard or lazy, getting high every day. This 13-year-old boy has spent his life being mistreated and malnutritioned and overlooked because of his mother's lack of willingness to pay attention to him. What you got on the line?
Says a grandma said a fat baby was a happy baby. The older generation knew much.
And that's very true. You know, that's why we count them bouncing baby boys.
Grant.
Thank you, Grant. And so now, but these children, so many children are born with drugs in their system that there isn't an emphasis put on marijuana in these kids' system when they're born. They do blood tests. There are just so many of them born with drugs in their system. And that means the mother was consuming while pregnant. It's called fetal alcohol syndrome, I think it is, when the baby shows physical signs of underdevelopment.
Right.
So too many children are growing up in high-stressed environments with a mother that is not well, not healthy. So that is why I speak so harshly about what's going on. The second chapter is Teaching Your Child to Read by Constance Van Brunt Johnson. For the most part, reading specialists, psychologists, and educators agree that concerned parents should and, in fact, must aid their children in the process of learning to read. Their position is based on the observation that children who become successful readers usually come from homes who foster an interest in reading. These are almost invariably children who have been read to by their parents, siblings, or other family members. In most cases, they have been introduced to books, magazines, or other reading materials long before they enter kindergarten. Parents who want their children to learn to read must realize that reading is a rather complicated task, which involves many of the child's faculties. Reading is also a task which children must count among their basic survival skills. Therefore, it is extremely important for parents to deal with the question of how to go about the business of helping their child read. The standard that was set in 1970 for the ages of children when they should be able to read is age 3 to 4. They should be able to read. A child should be able to regularly read from rhyming verse and picture books. Ages 4.5 to 5, continue the rhyming page and picture books, but read longer stories and some plots, some more complicated plots. Have a child tell part of the story. Ensure the child is using structured syntax and can express descriptive ideas in oral language. 5.5 to 6.5, ensure the child knows the alphabet. Ask a child to read and tell some of the stories that they have read with their parents. Read and sing together as a family. Check on child's progress in classroom, including instruction. And become familiar with the instructional method of the school. Ensure child's participation in library program. Help children learn to write the letters of the alphabet. Ages 6.5 to 7, have a child read news stories aloud. That's very important, having a child read to you aloud. Look through newspapers, magazines, and make a do books together. Follow recipes and make crafts together. And by the ages of 7.5 to 8, check with the school on the child's progress towards independent reading, writing, and spelling. Encourage children to write letters and notes. Play spelling games. Promote child's participation in school and church plays or other language arts exercises. Introduce children to word roots and such as bio and mono. Introduce children to recognizing longer, more complicated words. This is from 1970, Mad Hatter. Mm-hmm. And there are more children now failing, dropping out of school. I read on the test scores for the Alabama high school examinations a few weeks ago. Three categories, math, science, and language arts. Less than 50% of Mobile County Public Schools kids are testing at grade level. We have to start reading and interacting with these children better. We have to have healthy diets because, as I said in the beginning, children will not do what we teach. They will do what we tolerate. So let's not tolerate unhealthy, ignorant children anymore. We're coming up on our second break. We'll be back. 2 minutes, 2 seconds. Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile. I'm your host, Mr. Mobile. I'm here with the Mad Hatter as usual.
Here I am.
We talked about an article written in the Ebony magazine. Do you see how big this magazine is?
It looks just like Time or Life magazine.
Right, when they used to print words in magazines. Yeah. But the thing about this Ebony magazine, every other page has an alcohol advertisement.
Huh.
Also.
Well, did Time and Life magazine.
Right, I'm not complaining. I'm just making a note.
Yep.
But the wigs were a lot cheaper back then, too, ladies. You would $10 wigs. That's not bad. And in a natural hair color. But my buddy Paul Check sent me a message saying, most important, loving father and mother, a complete family. And that's what we're emphasizing. That's what Men United Against Violence emphasizes, is that husbands and wives need to raise children, and men, it is on us first. And so we promote men being there and leading family education, employment, and discipline. Continuing with this magazine, the third chapter is Are We Failing Our Children?, written by Dr. James P. Comer. Dr. Comer says, because we know that society in general has failed and will continue to fail, in its responsibilities to children, we, the black community, must move to improve the situation for as many black children as we can. We cannot afford to lose the black children of this critical generation, that is, the post-war generation. That should be taking advantage of victories won during this period. This should be the heads-up, proud, constructively self-assertive generation, gaining the skills, enjoying the opportunities most blacks were denied in the past. Mm-hmm. This should be the generation which prepares its children to stand tall and as equally developed as any other group in the next generation, a period in which life will be more difficult to manage than it is today. The fate of black America would depend on how many youngsters will be able to manage well in the complex world of tomorrow. Too many black children across the country are in trouble. Because these children are in trouble, black America and white America are in trouble. The civil rights movement of the 1960s permitted today's youngsters to grow up with aggressive energy, self-assertiveness, and pride that many blacks in the past had lost by the age of 10 or 12 years old. But for too many, that energy has not been channeled and harnessed to be used to gain school and work skills, to accept responsibility for self-development, full development of future families, and the black family. I will repeat this, because I am a staunch proponent of this. The energy has not been channeled and harnessed to be used to gain school and work skills, to accept responsibility for self-development, full development of future families in the Black community.
And another text.
What you got?
Jason says, I was lucky enough to have parents and teachers that encouraged me to read the paper every day and discuss what I read back in the late 80s. Because of that seed being planted, I enjoy learning and is why I love this show. Great job, guys.
Thank you, sir. And the recipe I'm reading, Mad Hatter, is for every child.
Sure.
This recipe, but because this is an Ebony magazine, it's specifically speaking to Black children.
Well, they need it.
It's the same recipe, but when he talks about the energy must be channeled to harness to use to gain school and work skills and accept responsibility, somewhere along the lines in the last 55 years, that's been lost.
It has. Oh, it's been lost with everybody.
Right, but somewhere along the line, we've told people it's not your fault and you have no control. Mm-hmm. How frightful is it that you can't control your own destiny, your own future, when 55 years ago, that's all they preached? 55 years ago, one generation removed from segregation and Jim Crow is saying work skills and job skills and education and family. The Moynihan Report said that the most important thing to Black children was the family.
Yeah.
So when I say these things, Mad Hatter, Jay, why didn't make this up? I can't just create this type of intellect.
No.
So it's been around for 55 years. So when I encourage it, it's because it worked. It's because I came from that generation. I was born in 1971. And we figured it out. Good child care requires very specific things. Most important, it requires a regular... We have another call?
We have another text from Grant.
What you got?
He's got a little bit here. I used to make jokes with my son when he was 3 years old about onomatopoeia, and he would laugh and say choo-choo, bang-bang, vroom, etc. He didn't realize until now, he's 22 now,
right,
how important it was to learn and use words correctly. No tattoos, registered voter, even wonderful. In primaries, engaged with politics and religion, in a long-term monogamous relationship with a girl not white, employed, with a license, licensed insurance. I'm a proud father on those issues. It takes time, folks.
Wonderful. And we know it works. It's just somewhere along the line, evil has crept in and sowed in tares amongst the family. You know, a good child, most importantly, they require a time and attention. It requires warmth and enthusiasm as part of parents. It requires parental approach that puts less stress on controlling and punishing a child over letting the child do whatever he wants. That's not it. And more stress on helping him to learn the rules of the game step by step. In so doing, we become child developers and the models around which our children organize their lives and world. That's called discipline.
Right.
It's called consistency.
Yes.
It's called keeping your word as a parent. Once you say you're going to do or don't do, that's what you follow through on. That's why I say kids will do what we tolerate and not what we teach.
Right.
If we allow ourselves to fail and being honest and telling our children, if you do that again, I'm going to spank you. My brother, Bro Young, tells a story all the time about my older brother, Ken, and my older sister, Jacqueline, God rest their souls, were playing in the den at my grandmother's house. And my momo said, and everybody had a momo or a muddy or a big mama or a meemaw. Everyone had one. I had a momo on my dad's side. And she told them, stop playing around before you break that lamp. And sure enough, they kept playing and broke the very lamp she said don't break.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she made them regret it. Bro Young said he felt bad for them, how bad she whooped them. But there were consequences to their action.
Oh, yeah.
And so she followed up on that. So kids need time and attention, but they need discipline and consistency also. And what's wrong with that, Port City Patriots?
Maximus asks, what's wrong with tattoos?
Well, on children, they're probably bad. Maximus,
yeah.
I know. Yeah, that's
there you go.
Right, we're talking about children. You
right
know?
On.
So I know you have a few, my friend. But but what we're talking about the conditions that children are raised in. And this is for every child. When we are friendly, firm, but fair without being pushovers in our relationships with other adults and our children, they learn to relate in the same way. When we talk to them and explain what is going on the television, the playground, the zoo, they learn. When we help them work out a deal to share a toy with the boy next door rather than punch him in the nose and take it, mm-hmm. or get punched in the nose trying to take it, mm-hmm. they learn. When we take a few minutes at bedtime to read our preschoolers a story, We not only prepare them for a good night's sleep, but we are preparing them to learn to read later on. Our work with our children is more likely to be successful when we have played games with them, gone on walks with them, gone to church, ball games, or picnics with them, fixed special meals for them, celebrated their birthdays, and had a lot of good times with them, rather than when we have paid attention to them only by yelling, don't do this, don't do that, and by scolding and spanking and threatening. I'm going to knock your block off. This is from 1970. The good times increases your chances of sane management of bedtime, television time, school time, and other issues, brothers and sisters, and other fights and struggles. When parents provide such care, they are able to help a child bring his raw, aggressive energy under control. Change much of it from animal survival energy to the energy of sustained learning, creative work, and play. And that's what we're dealing with in Mobile with our youth crime issue. The young teenage violence issue is what we just described. They've never been taught how to control their emotions or taught how to channel their energy into something positive. They have been pretty much raised as feral animals and left to raise themselves and other groups of other kids that are raising themselves. The parents are too busy going to clubs or trying to be cool and hanging out, having girls' trips. And dad says, well, the baby ain't mine. I ain't coming around, so forget it. And that's what's leading to the problems we have in our city. Well, JY, you're preaching to the choir. We don't live like that, but we have a duty to shame that. We have a duty to not endorse it or sign off on it or agree on it. Even if it's something, don't even watch the videos on online anymore. Don't give the algorithm your view.
And Jerry on Fort Morgan said, you said it before, we didn't want to bring shame to our family.
And that was the most important thing. Don't commit crimes. Don't go where crimes are committed. Don't hang with people who commit crimes. And if you have any doubt, don't embarrass the family. You know, you didn't want to be thought of as a bum. The single finger salute. That's the third time I've gotten it tonight. But we have to bring back accountability. This magazine was written in 1970, 55 years ago. Then why are we still talking about this now? Because the number of unwed mothers has quadrupled since then. The number of high school dropouts as a result has quadrupled then. The number of people incarcerated has quadrupled then. Broken families and broken homes have quadrupled since then. That's why we're talking about it now. And we don't do ourselves any service by pretending that this isn't the reality that we have to deal with. I prefer Port City Patriots of being bold and saying we have an issue in our families, in our homes. I say it all the time. I'll be in Fulton, Alabama this Saturday. It's near Jackson, Alabama. So, and I'll say the same thing in a room full of preachers. Final break. We'll be right back. Tonight on Mobile with Mr. Mobile. We're back for the final 6 minutes of the show. I hope you guys found the 1970 special issue of Ebony Magazine enlightening, the similarities between then and now. I hope this creates a discussion. I hope this creates a conversation. Maybe we shouldn't be uncomfortable at this point, but maybe we should. Just start talking about family, education, employment, and discipline. If that was described as a solution to a problem for one generation removed from segregation and Jim Crow, then it can be the solution now. I do not believe this nation is inherently racist, and even if it is, nothing's going to stop Big Mahogany from doing what he has to do. Nothing's going to stop me from accomplishing my goals. I don't care who hates me or who loves me. And that's what this magazine is telling us. Teach our kids skills that are going to overcome everything. And we can't say stronger is he that is in me than is in the world. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I truly believe that. And that's what we should teach our children, that whatever problem arises, we give them the tools to overcome that problem. Now, you guys know I never speak in real specificities, but I'll describe events and say things, and you guys determine to what it applies. One thing we can agree on is thou shalt not kill. Even if you're not a believer, as the Mad Hatter and I are, murder is wrong, and we can agree that no one's life should be taken senselessly, without provocation, without cause. Just because I disagree with someone, that does not give me just cause to take their life.
No,
it doesn't even give me just cause to smack some people. And yeah, you know, whew, there's sometimes, buddy. Yeah. Yeah. And we shouldn't hold a grudge, because Matthew 18:20 says, Peter asked him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. That's not an accurate number. That's just saying how many times I'm supposed to forgive somebody. And because you forgive somebody doesn't mean you are friends with them anymore. Yeah. It just means you relieve yourself of the burden of disliking them.
Sure.
And I've had to deal with that. And you've had to deal with that. We've all had to let something go.
Right, right.
And it is better that we as believers remember whom we serve. And if we die in the service of Christ, where our end is.
Yes.
So we shouldn't carry grudges against people. As hard as forgiveness is, it is difficult. But ultimately, that is what we have to do. Because the longer that seed of anger sits, it grows. And you think about it. You think about how you were treated and what he said to me and what he did to me. And I should have smacked him in his mouth. And you feed on that. And then that anger becomes sin. And when sin takes a hold, the devil has won. So believers, we always have to take the higher ground. We have to set these examples. As leaders, we have to prove to the world that my job is to unite, but my job is to unite through truth. I haven't read anything on air that I didn't say this past week to those children, and I won't say again when I go to Fulton, Alabama this Saturday, or that I didn't say three years ago, because it isn't about conflict. It's about here's the truth, and here's the problem, here's the solution. If you have a different solution, I'm listening.
Right.
And we have to remember Romans 12:19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good.
That's it.
This is what leaders are supposed to say. These are the expressions that we are supposed to tell one another in these moments. Whenever we are confronted with conflict or hurt, it's hard, but it has to be done. As far as words go, someone saying something to make you inflict harm on them, even lying on you. The First Amendment guarantees freedoms concerning religion, expression, assembly, and the right to petition. It forbids Congress from both promoting one religion over others. It also restricts individuals' religious practice, and also restricting the government cannot restrict individuals' religious practices. It guarantees freedom of expression by prohibiting Congress from restricting the press or the rights of individuals to speak freely. It also guarantees the right of citizens to assemble peaceably and to petition their government. This means that I can offend and risk being offended through words or press. It's not the same as slander, which is malicious and a lie meant to defame. But if my opinion doesn't match, I don't think the Mad Hatter needs a haircut. He thinks he does. Don't punch me in the nose because I say I don't think you need a haircut. But when we have an opinion, if I have an opinion that the family, a united family of father, mother, and children is the best solution, and someone else says, the woman don't need no man, she can raise the mama and the daddy, we can sit and have a conversation, discuss it. And if we don't agree to, and if we can't change each other's mind, then let's agree to disagree.
Right.
But this should not ever turn into a yelling or shouting match.
Right.
There used to be a time we didn't talk about religious, politics, or salaries. Maybe we should get back to that. Because now everyone runs around with their favorite politician on their sleeve or on their shirt, and they cheer for people that they don't know, like a football team. They argue with people they don't know with people whom they know. They break relationships with someone they've known 20 years over someone they don't know.
No kidding.
It happens, right?
It does.
Because we've become so polarized. But I don't think I'm much of a leader. Chuck D thinks I am. But I, as a leader, must bring this message as far as I'm able to every leader now should reach out as far as his voice or his ability to, and tell Americans and Mobilians and Port City Patriots and Mississippians, you know, they mess up the roads, but we should tell them that, look, we are Americans. We are Mobilians. We share the same streets, roads, highways. We go to the same shopping centers and malls. This is our. This is my country, land of my birth. And that's what we have to remind people. Yes. That we, and I think that there are more people that think like we do than there are that disagree with us. But we have to become equally vocal. That's why when I go speak to children, I am just as emphatic and as energetic as the TikToking videos that they see. I'm just as loud as the music they listen to, because I have to fight evil at where evil is.
Sure.
But only with righteousness.
Right.
I can't fight evil with evil.
No.
So I have to try to defeat it with good. And that's what I'm promoting now. If there's someone that has defriended you or unblocked you or no longer accepts your phone calls, say a prayer for them and don't strike back.
Amen.
If there's topics that we can't talk about, then we'll agree not to talk about them.
Sure.
If there's anything that offends you that I've said, then I won't say it around you. Even Lizzo jokes.
We can do that.
The quote, "I disapprove of what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it," is often misattributed to Voltaire, but it was actually coined by Evelyn Beatrice Hall in her biography of Voltaire. This quote emphasizes the importance of free speech and the principle of defending others' rights to express their opinions, even if one disagrees with them. Hall's words reflect a commitment to the ideas of open discourse and tolerance in society. The term tolerance has been hijacked. Yeah. It means that accept whatever I tell you. And once it meant, at one time it meant that it's none of my business if we disagree. I might disagree with you, but I'll defend to the death your right to say it. And we have to get back to that, Port City Patriots. We can no longer participate in vitriol or argumentative, pointless arguments that have no end. And remember that this is our city. We are the port city. There's no one else like us in the world. There's not another one like us. And what it becomes is what we make it. We had Justin on earlier talking about the homeless. And we can re-inculcate them when they want to participate again. But we can't give in to vagrancy. Mm-hmm. We can't give in to violence and ignorance. We can't give in to division. The leader I will follow is the one that tells everyone, follow me. Yeah. And I'll lead us out. Not, you have to wait and I'll come back for you. You guys come with me at the same time. And if you got to believe in something, why not believe in JY? Mm-hmm. Thank you guys for tuning in tonight. Hopefully I'll be back next Monday, because Celeste doesn't play about her money. But thank you, Mad Hatter. It's always a pleasure. If you guys know some homeless people that need help, contact the police department. Thank you guys. Good night. God bless. God bless the Port City.